Are you comfy?
Yeah, I'm chilling. I feel good.
Gosh. What's new? What's good with you?
Everything's good. What's new? I just got a promotion. It is another promotion, I guess you can say that.
That lead position?
No, I didn't get the lead position, but I got another position inside the office.
Okay.
Which is cool. I like it. But I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna have people all up in my shit watching me all day. That's really what I don't want. That's like the only thing that's stopping me from just doing it.
Okay.
I like to be able to float around and do my thing. But I feel like I'm gonna have people up my ass. Mm-hmm. At least watching my move.
And what's the...
What's the what?
What's the emotion behind people being up your ass?
The emotion behind it?
Yeah. Oh, look. And there are so many. This is my favorite thing. I love this thing so much. Because I didn't realize, I can't say you, I'm speaking from personal experience, because I intentionally shut off emotion for a very long time. So, that helped me a ton be able to get to the root of certain things regularly, you know? Because once you start to call things and figure out where they are, because it's different on a frequency, you know what I mean? Like, sad is different than depressed, is different than disappointed, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would say, looking at this world, I would say disgusted.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But not like in a disapproving way.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. They might be cool people.
Yeah, and what would be wrong with them watching you?
What would be wrong with them watching me? Because,
mm-hmm.
man, I'm up to no good.
You are! So guilt. Guilt on this emotion. The truth shall set you free. Oh, shit.
I already know where I'm at now. I don't got to worry about that. I can just do my thing. Get work done and be smooth. You know, so I know how my days don't go right now.
Okay.
But is security holding me back, or is it what? I don't know.
Huh.
But I feel like it's a good opportunity. It's like it could be beneficial. But I'm really in a routine right now. I kind of like it. And I would have to do 9 hours instead of 8. But I would get an hour lunch. Then I would get more PTO. But I would get paid $100 less. But I would probably have people watching me. But I'm on my own time, so I don't have to clock in and shit. See where I'm at?
Yeah, I do. So, and just because I am who I am, the more room you give me, the more I'm going to take.
Right.
So, specifically with timing, that's really all I'm talking about, is I will find something else to do with those 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like in film, we have an 18-minute setup time, but we need it. Like, you need to be at work using your 18 minutes to get your shit together. Mm-hmm. You do. Not me. I use 15 of them to be late. And then I'm still setting my shit up 15 minutes into doing people's hair.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Which then causes all these anxieties and, concern, and I'm unfocused. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not worth it in the end when you reevaluate it. Now, there have been times that it is worth it, because I want to do what I want to do. You know what I mean? And our schedules are nuts. Like, I start back to work on Tuesday. I have to be there at 4:18 in the morning. You know what I mean? So, it's like 15 minutes makes a difference. In sleep, specifically, it's my first day back after being on strike for 6 months. Like, I'm going to be a little bit nervous. Not for the work, but for the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, it's you always have to take the temperature of the room, of the set, of the production. So yeah, that's what it comes down to. Like, what's most important to you when it comes to your job? Like, what do you need your job to provide for you?
Income. That's pretty much it.
And is that the most important thing? Because like you said, you have, is somebody looking over you, you know, where...
it wouldn't even be like a boss. It wouldn't even be like that. It would be like one of my, because our work, it would be like, be all piled in together. Like, I'm going to do my work, but I like to do things at my pace.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing now, I can do it at my pace and nobody, you know, can say anything, you know.
Right.
But am I going to be having to work at, because I'm going to have deadlines at like 6 and 9. But will I be able to work at my pace, do my thing, and, you know what I'm saying, y'all just leave me alone, because as long as I'm getting my work done type shit, that's all I really care about. So let me do me, you do you, my work is going to get done, and hopefully you assist you type shit.
What's the way that you can ask that?
Don't know. Gotta ask the right person.
I was gonna say, how would you feel comfortable asking? I feel like every job's a negotiation. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing me a service by employing me. You know, it's an exchange. So, I'll give you this for this.
Right.
Like, that's how I live my life, you know, in every, as much as I can, you know. It's a dance to try to balance it, but yeah. Because anything that you allow will, you know, and can, it has the space to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And not allow, in a sense, I feel like I felt like tension all of a sudden with the word allow. And it's not in a way of like controlling anybody else. It's just as far as creation's concerned in your own mind.
Setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And removing thoughts, beliefs, and conditions that are in the way of any thought that keeps you from thinking you can have that.
That was a big theme last night for me, cutting out distractions. It just kept popping up for me. Cutting out distractions. Like, even when I was on, like, scrolling through on Instagram or anything, I kept seeing stuff that said, cut out distractions. Make sure you eliminate your distractions. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, like a lighter, because that too feels, for me, it has a lot of emotion attached to it, because to me, if I tell you you're a distraction, even though I'm probably in the dictionary definition of the word, I mean it,
mm-hmm.
but I think on a social level that it's negative.
Right.
You know, so in the sense of either making peace with the word distraction, you know, and make it like neutral.
Yeah.
Or like you literally do, there's everything can distract you.
I had a relationship in college. A little situation, you know how that stuff goes. And she called me a distraction. But she said I was a good distraction. Like, you're a good distraction. You helped me, like, I don't know. It's a good distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I really got, you know, that perspective of that.
Different context.
Yeah, different context.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, what are you being distracted from? And if it's, most of us, perpetual thought habits, mm-hmm. like if you're used to doubting yourself and you have somebody around mm-hmm. you who's helping you believe in yourself, then it's still distracting you from old thought habits.
Mm-hmm.
And the same happens in the other way. You know, if you think really highly of yourself and you keep yourself around people who, you know, don't agree with that. They're loud. So yeah,
that was actually a theme today about interactions and where am I spending time, who am I spending time with.
Oh yeah,
this is I think Joey Badass said, you know who that is, a rapper?
No.
Well, he said is a 33% rule or something like that. And he explained it like he spends 33% of his time with people that are on his level.
Mm-hmm.
People that think like him and people that, you know, trying to do things he's trying to do. Then he spends 30% of his time with people that are above his level so he can reach new levels, you know what I'm saying, and see different things from different perspectives, you know. But they also, he spends 33% of his time with people that are below his level, or where he sees himself at. And he says that's how he gets his balance. So where he's leading, he's following, and then he's, you know, at a neutral state as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that idea.
Yeah.
But I think I've been spending too much time in maybe two of those areas, more than the one.
Yeah. It's comfort.
Yeah. But not even though, it's also about, like, about, you know, exploring and finding those rooms where those people are.
Yeah, and I think none of them are better or worse than the next.
Right.
It's understanding that it's literally perpetual choices of repeated frequency, mm-hmm. you know? That's all it is. And you can shift in an instant. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just want to be in the mud. Sometimes I just like it in the gutter. Like,
I'll be in the trenches.
Yeah, sometimes it's just, that's where a lot of inspiration comes from. And I've had to find a balance with it in regards to, like, self-worth. Because if you grew up rough, there's almost like an attachment to, like, pride in with it, you know, like if it wasn't hard then you didn't earn it, kind of thing. I don't believe that. You know,
it sounds like you were saying, like a imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like a survival, because once you're in that survival state, you know that you gonna do what you gotta do to survive,
mm-hmm.
and you get that hunger in you. So once you're not in that state, I think that's what your attachment is to that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you just want that. That's what fuels the fire inside you, so you can go harder.
Mm-hmm.
I've been needing that too, though.
Yeah, and I think I've taken off from so many other places that get the same result, you know, because I've repaired my relationship with the gutter in a lot of areas of my life, you know. One of the funny things that, like, one of my first mentors, we went through this thing where we talked about what we thought was a luxury, like, because he grew up in the projects in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and I grew up what I call poorer than projects. Like, we weren't in the projects, we lived in a house and we owned our house, but we didn't have drywall, like, there was no ductwork, like, the furnace just blew out into the open of the house. Mm. Like, it was, And I'm not saying I understand why now in this space and being able to dissect my own life and the limits that were created. And I can't imagine what that was like in the 60s for an interracial couple, you know what I mean? Trying to make life happen, you know? So it comes from a place of like understanding, excuse me, but like, until you really think about the limits that that placed on your thinking, you know? And especially with the behaviors around how the house was conducted, you know what I mean? Like the culture just in our house and the lack mindset, you know? And so things like that resurface when in unresolved areas, you know? Like I've resolved that a lot. And it's come up over and over again, and I can see this, you know, just by how I've convinced myself that money should be easy to make and like how it progressively manifested in my life, right? Specifically coming from somewhere when we had this conversation, me and my mentor, one of the things, like just a couple of things, matching furniture, like was, I thought you were rich if you had matching furniture. Like, it was never a thing. We always had, like, hand-me-down furniture, right? Paper towels. Like, we did not have paper towels. That was, like, an income tax time, like, luxury item. And the one thing that used to amuse me, and I was probably, like, 12, 13, Dixie cups in the bathroom. Like, I could not believe that people had enough money to buy paper cups that they could throw away after they rinsed their mouth out after brushing their teeth 2 times a day. I'm, like, doing all kind of math and adding up cups, like, at 12 years old. Like, I couldn't believe it. But there was a balance between, like, that explorer and the... Like, fuck. Like, we were poor. You know what I mean? Like, and limited, you know? Like, the way that I cut off access to those things because those were just for rich people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the silly one, I used to think that only old people could eat butter pecan ice cream. Because the only time I ever saw butter pecan ice cream, it was at my grandparents' house. You know what I mean? But even something so simple, like, that was true to me. You know? All of this, the things that you tell yourself, especially repeatedly, and then your brain will help you find things in your physical existence to reinforce it. That's its job, you know, on a scientific level. So, as spiritual as we want to make it, I had never seen a Hyundai Tucson until I bought my car, and then they were everywhere. Those Hyundai Tucsons were always there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how immediate our brain goes into action to defend our being. You know what I mean? To make it real. That quick, as soon as you tell it.
So it's going to work and making that reality.
Mm-hmm.
You got to protect your thoughts at all costs.
Uh-huh. And being mindful that how you're doing it is already creating it, right? So for me, I'm happy as fuck all the time because that is what I want to continue to perpetuate. That is the frequency that I want to draw to myself. I'm obnoxiously happy and I love it. You know what I mean? Like, and so, but that's what I want. you know? So that's what I focus on, and it's an integral part of when I'm creating. You know, if I can find a way to influx fun into this, I'm going to. You know what I mean? And you have to fight against, because there are consequences to that, you know. Specifically in places that are deemed more serious. Specifically as a parent. You know, there are some things that they just try to, they, us, we, because we do it to ourselves, nobody can limit you. You know, like it's an agreement that you make that this is the limit. So, but also, there are real consequences. There are pushbacks from people you know, don't know, society, whatever, you know, if you're willing to observe them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a willingness to stand on your principle regardless of the consequence. And once again, creating a new relationship with the word consequence, it's not a bad thing. The consequence of me trying to infiltrate fun into everything is that there's way more fun in most of the things that I do than there would be if I didn't do
Right.
that. You know, that's it. That's,
Man.
and, but sometimes, no, you know what I mean? Sometimes it don't go over well, you know, but that is the risk I'm willing to take.
Right, that's where you're setting your intentions.
Yeah. And like I said, like you said, because those intentions are there, everything moves to make it so.
Right. That's powerful. That's where our power is. And being able to set our intentions. This is what we're gonna put on this situation. You know what I mean? Whatever situation I'm walking into, this is how I'm walking into it. That's like some people wake up and choose violence. I'm waking up and I'm choosing violence, man. Everybody, my life sucks, so everybody life gonna suck.
Well, and then I think that sometimes it's not even an intention. It's not an intention because whether or not it is an intention, but an unconscious one,
Right.
it's a habit.
Yeah,
Like I
that's
said,
not
I
what
found that
it is.
most people don't even know that they have control of that. Nobody's ever told them, taught them. They've actually been shown the opposite, that everything outside of them is the cause and effect.
Yeah, 'cause people don't. We don't. We weren't taught to understand that our emotions are a choice, or like our reactions. Our choice, you know, this can, you know, initially I feel this might make me angry or pissed off, but I still have that choice to, you know, it's not going to ruin my day. It might make me feel a way, but, you know, go through and figure out why. Why is this making me feel this way? Why? What emotion am I feeling? Is it anger or is it just, you know, like sadness? Or is it frustration? Am I just disappointed? You know what I mean? Or am I really pissed off?
Right. And regardless, it only has something to do with you. And I think because we're so limited, men specifically, black men even more specifically, on the, what word do I want to use? Appropriate means of expressing emotion, you get to the point where whatever you can let out comes out wherever it can. You know what I mean? So like we were talking about my youngest son, like, and he's big as hell. It's hard to remember he's only 9, but he has these little fits. But his dad still lives by the, you know, rub dirt in it, stop crying, shut up. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a conversation with him about what's going on. You know what I mean? Or if, like you said, if that's even the emotion. So when you fall down, there's this appropriation that happens in your brain that says, oh, now's the time. This shit that I have bottled up, it can come out right now, and it can come out in tears, and it's subconscious. You don't even know
Right.
all these processes are happening. But it's like, yes, right now I can let it all out. So there's a line between, you're not hurt. You know what I mean? Like, so understand that it's okay that you that you're crying and you're continuing to cry, but I need you. Are you hurt?
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, I'm not hurt. Okay, cool. Keep crying. We'll figure that out later. But just so you have the understanding that this is not physical pain that's making you cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we revisit it later. But that happens with every single one of us. You know, like, we're doing the same, we're perpetuating those same behaviors our whole entire life because we're so restricted.
Mm-hmm. It's like that silent, you know, fight that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, eventually those silent screams got to be heard because we all fighting something. But it's like, what we need to be doing is setting our intentions on what fight we are fighting, what's important. Because most things are just, it's not even our idea. It's
right.
Just somebody else's, you know, simulation or somebody else's, what they came up with and projected into the world.
Right. And I would even go as far.
Someone else's projection of the world.
Say that again, sorry.
Someone else's projection of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what me and Rob had a conversation about. It was, we're talking about how a group of people sat down however long ago, and they said, this is how the world needs to be. And then they set all their actions and intentions on making the world this way. And then all of us are just carrying out what they have already, you know, manifested.
Right. And I would even challenge that to we can and do that every day, mm-hmm. in ourselves and with our local group of people. Do you know what I mean? And that's the community part that is so important, you know, that the connection that has been taken away from us in a sense, or we've been diverted from with technology and with some cultural things that keep us divided, right. You know,
because
the communal energy is, you know, like I have one friend, even us, like, for the next 2 days from whatever happens here, just like you said, I'm going to have 10 more conversations that link up to this and elevate and expand the idea that we, you know, that we're putting out, mm-hmm. because that's what we're doing. You know, mm-hmm. we're setting an intention for this to be a bigger part of our lives, you know, and there are other people on that frequency, mm-hmm. you know, so it's, yeah.
About setting them intentions. That's why that's like the word of the year for me.
Intentions.
I think last year it was discipline. Well, no, the year before it was discipline. Yeah, last year was, what was last year? I forgot. Last year's over with.
Yeah.
Intentions. Setting my intentions, you know, staying focused, you know what I mean? That's what it was last year. It just was focus and consistency. There you go. Discipline, consistency, now. Now it's time to keep my intentions on what I want out of this life, you know?
Right. And don't be afraid to get specific either. Like I said, because mine comes down to when you get to the why of everything, we've talked about this before, you don't want money. You mm-hmm. want peace or freedom or whatever you think money is going to supply. Money is just the physical manifestation of the feeling that you're trying to get in this human experience, right? So that's always laced in every intention. Why do I want what I want? Find that frequency and insist on it in everything, at my job, in every single one of my relationships, parent, child, friend, lover, boss, period, you know? And it's not going to happen any other way. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. It doesn't happen any other way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, if your intentions are not to build your dream, then you are assisting somebody else with theirs, which is cool. You know, you're in my dream, I'm in yours. Like, it is what it is. However,
I don't think that's why I cut the small talk, because it don't really lead nowhere. It's just like a bunch of back and forth, and it's like, what are we talking about? Like, what do you want from me?
And it's just,
and what do I want from you? Let's talk about that.
Well, that's what it is. Like I said, it's the appropriation of when it's safe to let out emotion. You're allowed to bitch to your friend. You're allowed to bitch to your coworker. You're allowed to complain to any person in any public space. Like, it's social. It's normal. It's wild.
I've been stopping people like mid-sentence.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you complaining? Are you complaining?
And
almost
it's
always, it's, no, I'm not complaining.
And it's just, yeah, what do you want instead?
Yeah.
Because if you check in with where you are right now, this is not a feeling you want to feel on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And if it is, why? Mm-hmm. And after you ask why 5 times, you're going to realize, no, that's not how you want to feel. It's a habit, be it even if it's just a thought habit. Because none of us get, like, oh, we're going to go to Earth the fucking bit. We have all of this power of intention and intuition and emotion and creation. And I'm going to wipe your ass with it. You know what I mean? Like,
shit on you.
Like,